Chapter 8. As soon as Olafat was gone, Edric and I hurried into the hut. We joined Grisina at the window to watch the trunk skim the tops of the waves.
"That spell should put a crimp in his style, shouldn't it?" said Edric.
"I hope so," said Grisina. She carried a black and green bottle to the window, where direct sunlight made it look diseased. "It almost seems a shame to let these go. The old witches are much nicer without their memories." Gesturing toward the shelf, she said, "Would you two like to help me with the bottles?" Edric grinned.
"How can we resist?"
"I'll wait outside," said Haywood, and blew Grisina a kiss. "I'd just be in the way now."
"Thank you for all your help, my darling," called Grisina as the otter scurried out the door. "You were wonderful."
We took turns smashing the bottles against the back wall, throwing them one at a time. As each bottle broke, the memories fled the hut in greasy, multicolored swirls. When all the bottles were broken, Edric and I followed Grisina through the door, surprised to find that the sun was setting. We passed an angry group plotting their revenge on Olafat. Three witches had already set off in pursuit of the wizard. We were crossing the beach when Haywood trotted over to join us.
"Can we talk to your mother now?" he asked my aunt.
Grisina reached down to fondle his ears.
"If we can find her. She may have left already."
We spotted my grandmother inspecting her broom near one of the huts. She had changed back into the black gown and pointy-toed shoes she normally wore.
"Mother, I need to speak with you," announced Grisina.
Grandmother swung around and glared at my aunt.
"What is it? I'm in a hurry."
Slipping past Grisina, Haywood sat back on his haunches and stared up at my grandmother.
"Hello, Olivine. Remember me?"
"By the breath of a cross-eyed bat, if it isn't that good-for-nothing Henley. So, you finally found him, did you, Grisina? It took you longer than I thought it would, but then you always were a little slow. Tell me, daughter, what is he doing here?"
"Haywood and I still love each other, and we want to get married."
"So, what's stopping you?"
Grisina sighed.
"I've come to ask you to reverse the spell and turn Haywood back into a man. It's the least you can do since I saved your memory from Olafat."
Grandmother glanced at Haywood, who had chosen that moment to scrub his face with a paw.
"You want a man, do you? There are enough men out there to pick from."
"But I want Haywood."
This wasn't going at all the way I thought it would. Grandmother was supposed to be thankful and reasonable. Haywood was supposed to act less like an otter and more like a man. And Grisina wasn't supposed to lose her temper.
"Grandmother," I said, hoping to set things right, "I suggested they come. I know how much you've wanted more grandchildren, and I thought if they got married..."
"Why would I want another grandchild? The one I have is the greatest disappointment of my life. You refuse to follow the family trade. You let your mother bully you, and you've never given a thought to what you want to do with yourself. When I was your age, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I did it. You think everything should be handed to you on a platter. But life doesn't work that way. If you cared about your family, you'd live up to your responsibilities and learn to be a witch."
"That isn't fair. I actually..."
"And as for you," she said, rounding on Grisina, "I may be old, but I haven't forgotten why I turned Horace into an otter in the first place. He doesn't have the talent the way you do. He comes from a family whose witches can't make a decent potion without reading it from a book. Forget about him. He's wasting your time and talents."
With a wave of her hand and some foreign-sounding words, Grandmother gestured toward Haywood, who disappeared with an audible pop.
"Haywood!" screamed Grisina, her eyes wide with horror as she stared at the empty spot where the otter had just stood. "Mother, what have you done?"
I've done you both a favor by sending him to a very nice place where he should be perfectly happy, if he survives. He's going to start forgetting you, Grisina. By the third day, he'll have forgotten that he was ever human. An hour after the sun rises on the fourth day, the change will be permanent. Now, get out of my way. That half-baked wizard Olafat has a lot to answer for, and I'm going to make sure he has a miserable time doing it.
Twirling her cloak around her shoulders, Grandmother swung her leg over her broom and leaned forward. Before my grandmother could take off, however, Grisina darted in front of her and grabbed the broom handle. "No, you don't, Mother," Grisina said. "You're not leaving until you bring my Haywood back." I had never seen my aunt so angry before. Her face was red and veins stood out on her forehead.
"Out of my way, you ninny!" screeched my grandmother. "It's not my fault that you're too dim-witted to know when someone's done you a good turn."
She flicked her fingers at Grisina. Silver sparks shot from her fingertips, sizzling like fat on a hot pan. A spark landed on Grisina's wrist, burning her skin. Grisina jumped back, gesturing with both hands while muttering something under her breath. A swirl of snowflakes whispered between the two women, extinguishing sparks with a hiss. When the snow cleared, my grandmother had already shot into the sky, cackling that nasty laugh of hers.
"Horatio's not good enough for you, Grisina," she screeched. "Forget about him!"
"That horrible witch!" exclaimed Grisina, scowling at my grandmother as she flew out of sight. "She can't do this to me again! I won't let her get away with it!" I shook sparks from my skirt and resolved that I would never use my magic to hurt anyone. It hadn't occurred to me that my grandmother would try to hurt her own daughter.
"Now what am I going to do?" wailed my aunt. "Even if I bring Haywood home before 4 days are up, Mother will refuse to change him back."
"You don't need her to do it. Edric tried to tell you earlier. We overheard her explain to the other memories what you need to reverse it. A gossamer hair from Mother of Pearl, the breath of a dragon green, a feather from an aged horse, the husk of a magic bean." Tears streamed down Grisina's face, but I couldn't remember ever seeing my aunt cry before.
"But I have to find Haywood," she said. "I'm sure she sent him somewhere ghastly. I don't have time to find him and all those items."
"All you have to do is find Haywood," I said. "Edric and I can start looking for the things you need. We'll meet you back at the castle. Today's Tuesday, so 4 days from now would be Saturday. If we work together, I'm sure we can do this."
"I don't know if I should let you," said Grisina. "It may be too dangerous. You need to look in the sea for the Mother of Pearl. And as to getting the dragon's breath,
that part should be easy. I already know where we can find a dragon. We came across one in the Enchanted Forest."
"I don't think..."
"Please, Grisina. It's my fault that you talked to Grandmother. If I hadn't been so sure that she would help us, we'd all be back at the castle right now, and none of this would have happened. Please let me make it up to you. I can do this. I know I can."
"I can't."
"You've helped me my whole life, and this is the first time I'll be able to do something for you. Please give me the chance." Grisina wiped tears from her eyes with the back of her hand.
"Are you sure about this?" "It won't be easy,"
Edric interrupted.
"Of course we'll do it. Emma is your only niece, and I keep hoping that someday..."
He put his arm around my shoulders.
"Then I suppose..."
My aunt smiled feebly and reached for our hands. We took her hands in ours and held them tightly.
"Thank you, Emma, Edric," she said. "You don't know what this means to me. I need to go after Haywood before his trail gets cold. You may use the magic carpet, of course. I'll have it take you directly home. I already know where you can find the first item. Emma, open the silver chest in my bedchamber
Take the silver comb to the salt water bowl. Run the comb through your hair 3 times, then do the same for Edric. Put the comb in your pouch, keep it safe, for you'll need it to come back, and dip your hand in the salt water. This will take you into the sea. But don't worry, you'll be fine. When you get to the castle, ask for my friend Coral. She's a sea witch, and she'll help you all she can. Be sure to take her a gift. When I come home, I'll get whatever you haven't located. How will you find Haywood without the carpet? I have my ways. Sticking 2 fingers in her mouth, Grisina whistled, then turned back to me. Tell your mother what your grandmother did. You can also tell her that she doesn't need to worry. I'll be home soon. Now, climb on and be careful, she said as the carpet landed at our feet. How do you steer it? I asked. My aunt seemed edgy and impatient to go. She sighed and said, I don't have time to show you now. It already knows the way home, so you won't have to worry about steering. Just say, home, and it will do the rest. Edric and I looked at each other. He swallowed hard and said, I'm ready when you are. I nodded and tried not to think about falling off. Clenching my teeth, I stepped onto the carpet and sat down, taking deep breaths to calm my pounding heart. I was trying to get comfortable when my hand brushed the pouch hanging from my belt. Maybe this could help, I said, taking out the string. If I could turn this into some sort of strap to hold us on. Emma, you clever girl! That's a marvelous idea! Grisina's eyes lit up, and I realized that she was more worried about us than she let show. She gestured, and the string grew into a heavy cord that whipped around my waist, attaching itself to the carpet behind me. I glanced at Edric, who was secured as well. Although it wasn't much, it made me feel better. Stay calm, I told myself, closing my eyes as the carpet began to rise.